Roll Tide. You know, it's been a tough year for Alabama Cowboy fans. You know, I'm starting to understand what it feels like to be an Aggie fan or Baylor or Longhorn fan. It's tough. It's tough. Hopefully, we won't get used to it. Hey, thanks for putting up with our little whiteboards here. You like it? It kind of fits, you know, with wearing a black shirt. It just kind of makes me pop, you know, as if I needed something to make me pop. And I'm using a handheld because I still have a nagging cough, so I may suddenly dart from the microphone here, so put up with it. Guys, tonight it's a real pleasure to be able to talk with you. But I want to start off complaining a little bit about my community group. I know y'all never do that, but here's some of my problems with community. Sometimes I don't feel the need for intimacy. I'm absolutely okay with superficial. I don't feel close to these people. In fact, some of the people in my group, I don't even like. Yeah, they're not here. Sometimes they hurt me. They don't know it, but I'm hurt. Sometimes I feel like I'm ignored. I'm not a priority for my group. And quite frankly, at times my group don't meet my needs. And so it was encouragement last week when Robbie was up here and he challenged us to look at the idea that, you know, don't look for the grass that's greener on the other side. Just focus on watering the grass you're in. And you remember he reminded us to close the door. He reminded us to put away pride and to, what's the last one? Relinquish our rights. We don't struggle with rights. I mean, we're not entitled, not this group. But tonight we're going to go a little bit different direction. I want to challenge you. I think you're going to come out of here encouraged and renewed. But we're not going to focus on things that you might think we would if we talk about strengthening groups. We're not going to focus on structure. We're not going to talk about dealing with difficult people in your group. We're not going to talk about programs or curriculum. We're going to talk about the heart. My premise is this, is that one of the major issues we face is that we have drifted from our commitment to Christ. And as a result, we begin to fall back in living for ourselves and trying to meet our needs through our own means. And so it's a call tonight as leaders and as small group participants to return to your first love. You know, it's been said, if you want what you've never had, you're going to have to do what you've never done. So we're going to challenge you tonight. My story is very similar to this issue of drifting. I've been a believer for over 40 years, pastored in churches for over 20. And I can honestly say that I do not believe that I totally grasped what it meant to abide with Christ, to give Christ control of my life. And yes, I was a pastor. I kept people at a distance. I told people what I wanted them to hear. I showed them what I wanted them to see. I was unwilling to be known. I was unwilling to be explored, to be discovered, to be touched, to truly be touched by biblical community. I was unwilling to pursue a community where I could truly find my true self in Christ, who Christ wanted me to be. I was unwilling to pursue and find a community of believers that passionately followed Christ, that developed true spiritual friendships. And my premise and my challenge tonight to us as leaders is that as we move closer to Christ in our own abiding walk, we will move closer to each other and we will have a biblical community that truly brings honor and glory to God. My own spiritual awakening can really be captured in a passage in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 2:13, where God tells Jeremiah, he says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves wells, broken wells that hold no water. I pursued choices through my 20 years of ministry, 40 years as a believer, to find life and significance apart from Christ. Control, manipulation, winning, titles, degrees, codependent relationships, pornography, overeating, you name it. These were all broken wells where God never intended us to find life, but I kept going back thinking, you know, maybe this time I will find life there. And all God wanted me to do, turn around, Jim, right behind you, I'm right there, the fountain of living water, life, purpose, meaning. Peter wrote about this in his second epistle. He says, everything that we need for life and godliness is found in the experiential relationship, the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is our fountain of living water. He is our source of life. For many years, I drifted away from my first love. Come back and drift and drift and drift. I'm encouraged to know that I wasn't the only one. In Revelation, Jesus talks about the church in Ephesus. This is what he says in Revelation chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He says to them, I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Man, that was me. I went through the right motions. I checked all the boxes. But my heart had drifted. My heart was not engaging with Christ. My independence, my selfishness sucked the life out of my marriage, sucked the life out of my ministry, created distance between me and my kids. I needed desperately for God to do a work in my heart, and he has, praise God, to re-engage, to rework, to renew, to restore my heart to him. And that's the work that he can do. Only he can do. That would have happened sooner. I'm sure it would have had an impact on my family. And it has. But I believe we struggle with some of the similar issues in our community group. That we need desperately to allow God to restore our hearts toward our fellow group members, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to do that work to restore our relationship to Christ. And when that's restored, our relationship to them can be restored. Your group needs your heart totally engaged with Jesus Christ. You are needed, absolutely needed. Larry Crabb says this. He says, the foundation for community with others and personal transformation is an encounter with God. You've heard Todd say, there are no marriage problems, only individuals not abiding with Christ that bring that dysfunction into a marriage. I think you could probably say that about community groups as well. They're really not community problems, only individuals in the community group that fail to abide with Christ, and they bring that dysfunction into community. I want to illustrate this very, very simply. It's a classic illustration of three circles. The first circle is going to illustrate of our life before Christ. Here we are. Our life is a circle, a blue circle. Sorry, ladies. I couldn't find pink. So it's a blue circle. And you are on the throne. We were on the throne, and Christ is outside. Okay? Then we trusted Christ, the next circle, where Christ is in our circle, but we are still on the throne. We are making choices. We are still making decisions. It is our will. We are trusting in mankind. We are leaning on our flesh to make decisions. But Christ is there. We have believed in him. We have passed from judgment into life. We have trusted Christ, but we are still on the throne. And our goal, my challenge tonight, is to paint a picture for this last circle and the impact it will have in your community as it has an impact on you personally, is where Christ is on the throne, where the focus is on God's will for you, God's glory, God's purposes, and you, you're going on for the ride. It's all about him. It's Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ, It is no longer I who live, but what? Christ who lives in me. Okay? Our dependence on Christ, guys, our dependence on Christ will drive us to another level. It'll allow us to move the needle in our community. We are predestined as believers to be conformed to the glory of God, to the glory of His Son. We are predestined. That's what we're called to be. So my challenge is, and you'll talk about this in your close group when you leave here, is what circle are you in? Are you on the throne making decisions? Are you experiencing the consequences of your choices? Or is God on the throne? Are you pursuing Him with all your heart, mind, and soul? So what does this culture of dependence look like? Because this is what you're wanting to do in your community group. This is what our challenge to you is. Create a culture of dependence on Christ. So we need to go no further than looking at Christ Himself. I mean, guys, we learned this in Sunday school. This is not a silver bullet. This is not a magic wand. This is reminding each other of what God has called us to do. Let's look at the life of Christ. We see His submission to God. Love the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but Your will, God. And that is the essence of our sin. When we choose broken wells, we choose other ways to find life and significance apart from Christ. That is our ultimate sin. So we see Christ submitting to God. We see Christ's knowledge of Scripture, His use of Scripture. We see his pursuit of solitude that nurtures His time with God. We see His prayers. Man, the prayers of Christ are glorious, but they're a model for us. We see His service. Christ did not come to be served, but to what? Serve. What does it look like to have total dependence upon God? Christ modeled it for us. So listen very quickly. What are a few ways to cultivate dependence in your life, in your group? Encourage consistent time of prayer. That's a new one. But it's not prayer lists, asking for things. It's that humble, broken communion with God that fosters that relationship that says, God, we cannot do this apart from You. God, we cannot have significant life change in each of our hearts unless You do it. Is a broken, humble prayer. We go before the throne of grace and we find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Secondly, it's the meditating on Scripture. Joining the journey is great, but if you're checking the box, reading the journal, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a meditating on the Word of God and allow it to change your heart. Serving others. And then the fourth one is dealing with your sin quickly. You know, I'm an addict. I confess. My addiction, I'm a gymaholic. If I can steal from the AA handbook, says this, I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. Guys, we need to purge that from our hearts. You know, it's not about us. And our dependence upon Christ is important because of how it impacts the community around you. If you go to community and it's about you, you can destroy community. So that's what we do. Those are things you do to cultivate dependence. So what kind of impact should it have on you? As a result of your personal time with Christ, you should possess a glorious vision, life, purpose, significance, your identity in Christ, your worth, your value is in Him and your relationship with Him. That's what you will find in Christ. Unfortunately, what happens is this. I'm not saying it happens with you, but what can happen in community groups is people come because they haven't been dependent upon Christ, and they come with their emotional and spiritual cups empty. They do not have life. They do not have purpose. They do not have worth, significance, or value. And their cup is empty, and they want community to fill their cup. And God never intended community to fill that cup. That's happening in your group, or if that's you, you are sucking the life out of your group. You will be dissatisfied. You'll be satisfied because your group can't provide that. And your group will be frustrated because you'll be expecting them to fill a role that is absolutely impossible to fill apart from Christ. Andy Stanley in his book says this, a book recently he recently wrote called Deep and Wide. We are never responsible for filling someone else's cup. We're only responsible for pouring ours out. And the only way you have something to pour your cup out when you go to community is if you have experienced a dependent relationship with Christ, time in the Word, time on your knees, time serving others, dependent upon Him, and your cups will be filled, and you will have something to actually give and pour out. John Lynch, Bill Thrall said in the book True Face, he said, God has dreams for you. It's a great quote. God has dreams for you. But God's dreams for you are ultimately never about you. God's dreams take form only when they are about others, for the benefit of others, loving them, guiding them, serving them, influencing them, filling their heads with dreams of hope of who they can be in Christ. God is not blessing you because you're the end. God is blessing you, giving you life and purpose because He wants you to give it to others, to serve others. So why, we know what to do, how to create a culture of dependency. We know the impact that it has in our life, purpose, meaning, significance, worth, okay? We know that is a result of your relationship with Christ. So what impact should a healthy believer have on his community? Let's filter real quickly through the core values, and then I'm going to have a couple of applications and we're done. What does it look like as it filters through our core values? Let's look at pursue relationally. You know, when you think about it, when we're in community, we have teammates. We have co-laborers that are walking with us, in some cases running with us in our journey with Christ. When Christ is not on the throne, when Christ is not where you're going to find your worth and value, you do not want to pursue your brother or sister in Christ. You are focused completely on yourself. How about counseling biblically? You know, in your community, you have wise counsel based on truth. You have people that are willing to be a sounding board for you because of Scripture and God's guidelines. But when Christ is not in control, I have nothing of eternal value. Oh, I have my opinion. I can share with you my experiences, but I don't have truth. I love the Proverbs says, he who trusts in his own heart is what? A fool. We need Scripture. Admonish faithfully. You have friends that love you enough to wound you when necessary, to point you back to Christ, and you for them. But when Christ is not on the throne, sin is not that big of a deal anymore in your life or anyone else's. We all sin. Let's just keep moving forward. In my marriage, one of the things that I failed to do was to lean in and admonish my family. And the reason I did not lean in and admonish my family is because I did not want it reciprocated. I did not want it reciprocated. So I'll leave you alone. You leave me alone. In many of our communities, we kind of have that unspoken rule. Well, one of our last core values, we'll do this one last. Live authentically. Live authentically. You are known and you are loved. Man. I love Proverbs 28:13. He who confesses and forsakes will find compassion. When Christ is not on the throne, we will isolate. We will isolate. And we will keep people at a safe distance. By the way, I can do that really well. I can show you how to do it. Although God has changed my heart. So you see, our core values are impacted. They go another notch. They take another level when we are truly dependent on Christ for everything, for our purpose, for our significance, value, esteem. And that's what we do in community. We are pointing people back to Him. So our applications, a few quick applications. Again, no silver bullets or magic wands here. We do have hula hoops over here that we may bring up later. Guys, create a time, create a place, create a plan. Encourage your community. Guys, if we're serious about this, create a time, create a place, create a plan, and you ask each other what that looks like. Secondly, don't give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Proverbs 28:26, I already quoted, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. How many times have you woken up in the morning or you've gone into a situation and you said, God, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I've been here before. I've done this. I got it. So we check God at the door. Can't tell you how many times I've walked out of a meeting shaking my head and saying, man, did I blow that. God, forgive me. Don't give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Cling to Him. Thirdly, use your group as a support. One of my challenges to all community groups as I go through and mingle is begin to ask better questions with each other. Here's a few. What are you learning in God's Word? That's a lot better than, how about them Cowboys? What are you learning in God's Word? What is the obstacle this week in your abiding with Christ? Who has God put in your path this week to share the gospel with, to live out your faith? Tell me how God is using you. Where are you finding the greatest victory in your life? What's eating your lunch? And where are you falling? You know, one of the biggest ways in which we're challenged is unresolved conflict. Man, nothing takes us out of the game quicker than unresolved conflict, because it will come back and it will bite you. Another way your group can support you besides asking better questions: send out questions and answers via text, email throughout the week. Stay engaged. Be intentional. Thirdly, be intentional with the study or discussion. And there's some resources in your handout for that. So in conclusion, guys, here's our charge. Here's our challenge to you. The foundation for community with others and personal transformation is an encounter with God. You have issues in your community group? Man, go to God. You're on a spiritual journey. Your group needs you to be totally engaged with Christ, totally committed, totally dependent. Christ on the throne, glorifying God, His purposes, His will, His glory, and pointing people to that same end. All right? So, guys, thank you. Let me pray for us, and Brandon's going to come up and tell us where to go. Father, thank you for just the opportunity to be stretched and to be challenged, that this is a spiritual journey, it is a spiritual warfare, and as much as we may strive to fix things, Lord, may we just rest and trust you. You're the one that will change our hearts. You're the one that can convict of sin. Lord, allow us to be dependent upon you. Say no to ourselves and trust you. We thank you for this, Father, and commit all this to your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.